This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, we are back, baby. What did I miss? Nothing, right? There was nothing going on over the last couple of days. Except for everything. This is why I don't like to take time off. I mean, I like to take time off. Oh, who wants to work all the time? And you guys need a break from me. And I needed a break from you. I love you, but I needed a break from you. But my goodness, is there a weekend where just nothing happens and there's no controversy and there's no huge headlines? And then a Monday to top it off, in which the entire landscape of the Nationals organization changed. In reality and potentially, on top of everything that had happened over the weekend. Oh, and by the way, the Capitals signed another goaltender. When are they going to sign their third and fourth goaltender to long-term deals? Oh, wait, they don't have those, at least with the big boys. And the Capitals survived last night. Survived last night after blowing a 3-0 lead. And I was like, oh, boy. Oh boy, this is going to be a fourth loss in a row. This is going to be the worst of them all. Ottawa's the type of team that, they might still struggle with. Speed, skill, transition, nothing to lose. Brady Tkachuk is awesome. Just awesome. And then somehow, some way, by the grace of the hockey gods, the Capitals win the shootout. Dylan Strome and Logan Thompson, knock on wood, I think you might be hearing from Logan Thompson this week, right here on this show. I think it's preliminary diagnosis. I would circle Thursday if I were you, but that's not official. That's not official. So a lot has happened. Kyrie Irving blew out his ACL. He done. He gone. For who knows how long. Probably until December? And will he ever be the same? Don't know. I actually like the Dallas Mavericks version of Kyrie Irving. I didn't like any other version of Kyrie Irving, and especially in Brooklyn. But I actually like the Kyrie Irving in Dallas. That's a shame. Even though that team deserves, probably all the injury histrionics that it has received since trading Luka Doncic. And then they go out and raise season ticket prices. Nice. That's the thing you want to do to your fans. Anyway, welcome back to me, I guess. Welcome back to you. Thanks to Doc on Friday and Mad Max. And then Linnell yesterday with Mad Max. AMAC is with us today. AMAC, how you be? Good afternoon. Hope you had a good weekend. It's great to see you. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Yeah. It was great to be back. Nice weather outside. Yeah. It seems like this is kind of like divine.
It's warm in here, so I'm going to have to adjust the thermostat. But we're okay. Got plenty of caffeine. Way too much caffeine. And right after this I got to shoot off to another event that some VIPs are hanging around in the office for. Maybe we'll try and squeeze one of them in here over the next 3 hours. We'll see how that all works out. So looking forward to that. Because the Caps don't play tonight. They're at MSG in New York tomorrow night for the Rangers. The Wizards don't play tonight. They played last night in Miami. They play Wednesday night. So, yeah, it's kind of – we have a lot of college basketball for you, both on Team 980 and 106.7 of the Fan. We'll tell you about that later on. That's tonight's slate. You know, kind of in between. AMAC mentioned nice weather. Yeah, I would say, I don't know, car temperature said 61 degrees. I don't know if it quite felt 61 degrees, but that's okay. Nice little gentle breeze, as they say. Certainly not a whipping wind or anything like that. But either way, not a bad way to come back. And neither is, quite honestly, the Deebo Samuel trade. Now, listen, we've all talked about Deebo Samuel for weeks now, and I don't remember last August when the 49ers finally stopped dancing with Brandon Ayuk and finally got a long-term deal done. I think we probably said at this point, this is going to be Deebo Samuel's last year. And the only question for me was whether they were going to trade Deebo Samuel at the trade deadline or even immediately after signing Ayuk long-term. And obviously having Christian McCaffrey and Trent Williams and George Kittle and Bosa and so on and so forth on long-term deals. So neither of those things happened. And there's cap reasons and there's team reasons. Even though San Francisco was struggling at the trade deadline, teams can often struggle in the first half of a season and then just somehow, some way, flip a switch and get going in the second half. Now, that didn't happen, but I was mildly surprised, is how I would label it, that Deebo Samuel ended the year in San Francisco. Part of it, again, could be how banged up he was, right? And that certainly is a part of it. Part of it could be the fact that he was reportedly overweight. Now, listen, this ain't a show that's going to make fun of people for being overweight, okay? I mean, other shows that are higher and mightier than mine can poke fun at people for being overweight. I battled it my whole life and still will battle it and will battle it until they bury my ass or burn my ass. Another way to kind of handle things posthumously or whatever that word is. So that is not going to be a criticism here. But it has been a criticism elsewhere. So anyway, ultimately Deebo Samuel finishes the year in San Francisco, but we all knew even before he requested a trade through Adam Schefter, right around the Super Bowl, that it was highly, highly unlikely that Deebo Samuel was going to be in San Francisco again. Highly, highly, highly unlikely. Almost impossible. And then he requested a trade. And that's what leads us to this. Now, listen. Again, while nobody should be surprised that Deebo Samuel was ultimately traded, I was a little bit surprised when he requested the trade as opposed to San Francisco wanting to do the trading, but they quickly agreed. But then when I was doing my research yesterday after coming back from Ohio, or Wehio, as Tyler would call it. They live in Canton, not far away from the Hall of Fame. And I don't think Deebo Samuel is ever going to the Hall of Fame. But, you know, it never strikes me what kind of pro football greatness I'm near and I pass by all the time when I'm driving around with my young adults. That being said, when Deebo Samuel demands a trade, you realize, wait a second, it's the second time he's demanded a trade or asked for a trade. Asked, demanded. Sometimes it's a little bit different. I think Myles Garrett is demanding a trade. Deebo Samuel may have asked for a trade. Remember, he did this after his breakout 2021 season before he got the three-year $72 million extension that he's finishing up. So this is the second time Deebo Samuel has asked for a trade, demanded a trade, what have you. And I had forgotten about that first time. And generally, I don't like guys that, oh, I don't like my situation here. I'm just going to go somewhere else and it'll be all great. And it'll be all better. And everybody will love me. And everybody will give me target share and targets and percentages and all the analytics amigo stuff. And I'll win and I'll cash in a big paycheck and I'll be the king of a new city. Generally, I don't like that. You know, life doesn't work that way. Generally speaking, you can switch jobs, obviously, but generally speaking, for various reasons in various different industries, you know, you are what you are. You are where your feet are, right? You don't have to like it. You don't have to think it's fair, but everybody doesn't switch jobs all the time. And certainly, you know, you can't walk into your boss and say, I demand a trade. Now, you oftentimes can leave, but you're taking a great risk, right? You don't know if you're going to like the new place. You don't know if you're going to fit in. You don't know if you're going to like the people. You don't know if you're going to like the work exactly or the boss or whatever. So generally speaking, I like people that, you know, not that everybody's happy. Trust me, I'm not happy all the time. I'm happier in later in life than I used to be. But I'm not happy all the time. I get aggravated, as everybody knows, with traffic and callers and stuff in sports and things that people say and things that people do. I get aggravated. But the last time I asked CK for a trade or to let me go somewhere else was, I'm checking my calendar. Oh, it says never. So, I'm generally not a big fan of that. Let me just start there. I realize the NFL is a different beast. Sports is a different beast. So, again, nobody's hating because that's what I'll be accused of doing. I'm telling you, I don't generally like it because I don't live in that world. I don't quite relate to that world. I get frustrated. I get angry sometimes, just like you do. I think about, hey, maybe the grass is greener on the other side. Maybe I'll be happier being retired. Maybe you would be happier with me being retired. Who knows? But I keep grinding. I keep the pedal to the metal. I keep trying. I keep efforting. I try and make the best out of a tough situation, whatever the circumstances are. And in general, I think you could ask anybody that I work with here in Odyssey, D.C., while I bitch and moan from time to time, just like everyone else does, I'm not a cancer. I'm not a bad person to be around. Everybody seems to like me. Now, whether they're pulling my leg, I don't know. But everybody seems to like me and laugh at me a little bit, joke around with me a little bit. Oh, hey, Russell, he's stupid, he's crazy, he's this, he's that. You know, he loves ping pong tables, all that stuff. That's generally the sentiment that I get over a long period of time. I don't have any enemies that I know of. I haven't double-crossed anybody. You know, whatever. Hey, Mac, you like me so far?
Yeah, so far.
Okay, so far. I haven't pissed you off yet?
No. Okay. You don't talk as much crap about my Giants as other people, so I appreciate
you
that.
You know, I mean,
maybe we haven't got to that stage yet.
I'll get there. The Giants are making some headlines today. But unlike other people, I care about a lot of things, you know? So anyway, long and the short of it is, I don't like what Deebo Samuel pulled to get out of San Francisco. Now, I truly believe Deebo Samuel would have been released from San Francisco if he didn't request a trade. I don't know that. I believe that because San Francisco is paying too many damn people. And $17.5 million is a huge, huge price tag when you're paying Bosa and Trent and Fred Warner and have to pay Brock Purdy. and McCaffrey and Kittle and Ayuk, right? So I believe Debo's days were numbered anyway, but he jumped ahead of the shark and said, I want out. I love Kyle Shanahan, but I want out. Okay, fine. It is what it is. A little bit different than I like it, but what have you. And then I started to hear a lot of the reaction to the trade starting Saturday night. My phone started blowing up. I was trying to have dinner with my kids. I was trying to watch the outdoor game at Ohio Stadium in Columbus. I was trying to watch WWE Elimination Chamber. I was not thinking at all in any way, shape, or form about the Commanders and Debo Samuel. But then, you know, of course, just natural instincts take over. And then Sunday, driving home, all day yesterday, bouncing around the Twitter, listening to the radio. I listened to Linnell. I listened to, you know, a little bit of Grant and Danny. I listened to a little bit of JP and B. Mitch. Listened to a little bit of Sheehan. Listened to a little bit of the Junkies, just to get like a taste of every, or a feel for everybody's, you know, taste and opinion. And I heard a lot of Hoffman. I heard a lot of him. I heard a lot of, this is a great trade. This is a no-brainer. This is a slam dunk. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. That's not my opinion. But listen, I think this is potentially a good trade. It's not a great trade, in my opinion. It's not a great trade right now, or it's not even a good trade right now. And please stop making it, oh, and I've heard multiple people refer to this as, wait, they got Debo Samuel for a fifth-round pick? Are you kidding me? Of course that's a slam dunk. Of course that's a great trade. Who wouldn't make that trade? Well, that's not the trade they made. They gave up a fifth-round pick, yes. They got Debo Samuel, yes. They also got a $17.5 million bill on top of that. One with a lot of injury concerns. So I don't understand right now how people are looking at it as, well, they only gave up a fifth-round pick. And the money and the cap space that is now chewed up, burnt up, that is now occupied by Debo Samuel is insignificant. Is nothing. Really? If they reportedly had 80 or so million dollars to spend, you just spent 22% of it. You damn Skippy, it's important. It's significant. Is it the end of the world? Of course not. Is it $30 million? No. Is it $17.5 million in a first-round pick, number 29 overall? Nope. Is it potentially a good trade? Yes. Is it a great trade? No. Is it potentially a great trade? Only if Debo Samuel comes here and just rocks the bleep out of the NFL and does, who was the analyst, AMAC, that we had? LeSean McCoy. LeSean McCoy, if he comes here and rocks it out and does what LeSean McCoy said yesterday, then it's a potentially great trade. Wait, let me back up there. He said what? What did he say? Can you play that again, AMAC? Oh, that's LeSean Shady McCoy, right? He knows a little something about football.
Yep.
Wait, so the Commanders just got the best player in football when the ball is in his hands?
Are you asking me?
Well, I'm asking you. I'm asking the audience. I'm asking the space on the wall. I'm wondering where we arrived at that. How we arrived at that.
I saw Saquon this past year.
Yeah.
Go nuts.
Yeah.
In Philadelphia.
You ever heard of Justin Jefferson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he preferenced that with the ball in his hand.
With the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Saquon's got the ball in his hands a lot.
Exactly.
I mean, Justin Jefferson's got the ball in his hands a lot.
There's like three or four running backs that
I can think of. Like Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
I don't know, like a quarterback like Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels, Patrick Mahomes, with the ball in his hands. And he said, as a running back, as a receiver, what have you. That's a pretty strong, that's not a shady statement, that's a pretty strong statement. So did the Commanders actually get that guy? Or is that a bunch of baloney? I'll tell you next. And you tell me at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I know everybody's been talking about the trade since Saturday night. I guarantee you they haven't had my spin on it. I promise you, because I've listened to it all. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Come and join us. I'll get you aboard. I'm going to try and move through to the calls quicker and then intersperse my opinions and analysis on not only Deebo Samuel, but also the rest of the Commander situation and the NFL and baseball and hockey and whatever. But come aboard and join us at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, right back with you on a Tuesday afternoon, back to the grind and beyond, 301-230-0980. Let me just clear up something before I get to the rest of Deebo and before we get to the calls. My guy, Athan Annapolis, just tweeted, and technically he's right, and technically everybody's right, but this is some high-level cap crap that's hard to explain, but here's what it says from overthecap.com, who knows much more than any of us. When it comes to Deebo Samuel, right, we know that he's got a $17.5 million contract this year. The Washington Commanders are going to pick that up and absorb that. The San Francisco 49ers have about $31 million worth of dead cap money that they have to absorb. But they are subtracting the $17.5 million that the Commanders are picking up, so theoretically, the 49ers are going to be left with a net of about $14.5 million worth of dead money from Deebo Samuel. A net, okay? They were going to pay 17.5. It's going to cost them 31 and change to do the dead cap thing. Boom, okay? Now, I heard Linnell mention this yesterday. Athan mentioned it. Some others have mentioned it. So I was like, According to Over the Cap, what happens is, now, it hasn't happened yet, but just bear with me. Washington will take on the $17.55 million in salary. According to Over the Cap, Samuel technically has an option in his contract that is due in mid-March. And this is Over the Cap saying this, but my assumption is the 49ers will either renounce the option or rework the contract prior to the trade. Again, remember, the trade is not official until the first day of the league year, and it might not even be official on that day either. They will either renounce the option or rework his contract prior to the trade and remove it, the option, to avoid having to take on a proration from the option as dead money this year, in addition to the $31 million that they're already charged with. If the option is not utilized, meaning it's not there, San Francisco renounces it. San Francisco reworks the contract somehow. If the option is not utilized, Samuel's cap number for Washington will be $17.55 million, which is what we're expecting. If the option somehow is still included in the trade and in the contract, then his cap charge for this year for the Commanders would only be $5.206 million. The remaining $12.344 million would then be still the Washington Commanders' responsibility, but it would be put into void years starting in 2026, which is when, oh, by the way, Deebo Samuel's a free agent. We've heard the void years thing. It's a way to spread out the money even more. The problem is the void years, when they kick in, Washington would then pay $12.34 million in dead money next year, even if they sign him to a long-term extension or whatever kind of extension. certainly if they trade him, certainly if he goes elsewhere. This is commonplace practice. Void years, dummy years, are becoming such a big thing that everybody says, oh, ha, 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 you can do whatever you want with the cap. Man, eventually the tax, tariff, to use a popular word these days, eventually it comes to light. It comes to fruition. And that's exactly what would happen here. So, yes, I guess in lieu of the 49ers now renouncing the option or reworking the contract, which nobody is expecting, then that's the only way, if the option is included as is, that's the only way that the Commanders could pay $5 million this year and $12 million in dead cap money next year, regardless of whether Deebo Samuel is with them or not. Now, again, that could happen. Maybe Adam Peters can finagle that and he thinks that's worth it. I don't. Not when you have a reported 80-some-odd million. I would just rather pay it all now and not have any dead money next year, but I can't rule it out 100%. Okay? So that's one part of this that's complicated. There's many other parts of it in terms of the analytics, in terms of the production, in terms of the whatever, that makes this potentially a good trade, but not, in my opinion, a great trade right now. And not, in my opinion, and again, this is just my opinion, a guaranteed slam dunk. Your calls next after a quick trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, lots of big NFL news already. Want another wide receiver? Want one that's probably heading to the Hall of Fame? Well, one is now available. The New York Jets are going to release Davante Adams and the final 2 years of his contract. As Adam Schefter reported earlier today, the Jets have also given Alan Lazard, their other wide receiver that they brought in for their former quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, permission to seek a trade before the start of the league year next year. Adams was due to make $35.6 million non-guaranteed in 2025 base pay, but now any team can sign him. He's available. You just have to work out a contract. So could the Commanders be in that business? We will see. Something we will talk about a little bit later on. Meanwhile, franchise tag deadline day today. The Cowboys were expected to franchise tag Osa Odigizawa, their stud off defensive tackle. Instead, they've reached a four-year, $80 million contract with Odigizawa, so he's not going anywhere in any way. Meanwhile, the Bears are acquiring offensive lineman and guard Jonah Jackson from the L.A. Rams in exchange for a 2025 sixth-round pick. He had been given permission to seek a trade. Also in sports, Dallas Mavericks, Kyrie Irving, 32 years old. He'll be 33 when he comes back from a torn ACL suffered last night to end his year in the first quarter of a Mavericks loss to the Sacramento Kings. We mentioned college basketball right here on the Team 980 tonight. We have Villanova and the Hoyas, 7:45, the coverage with Rich Votkin from Capital One Arena. And over on 106.7 The Fan, we have Hokies basketball, North Carolina in Blacksburg, starting at 6:30, and that's what's trending. Yeah, baby, we are back. Good to have you with us right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. We're going to get right out to the calls in a sec. I say it's a potentially good trade for the Commanders. I can't say it's a steal. I can't say it's a no-brainer. I can't say it's a slam dunk. I can't say any of that. It's got to be proven first, right? Deebo Samuel misses a bunch of games. A bunch might be strong, but it's not like Deebo Samuel is completely healthy and coming here with no questions, right? That's not the case. Now, listen, football players get hurt. We all understand that. Nobody is under any wrong illusion. He had pneumonia last year, in addition to other nagging injuries. Again, football players get hurt. Zach Ertz was an injury machine before coming here. Somehow, he, despite having to leave a couple of games, played 20 games at a fairly high level. He wasn't even on a playoff roster when the Commanders acquired him, I should say this. He was with the Lions during their run to the NFC Championship game the year before on their practice squad. He didn't play. But the book on him was he couldn't stay healthy, and he was somewhat slow, and he was aging. The book on Deebo Samuel right now is that he gets banged up a lot, that he was overweight last year, that he's not the same explosive player after the catch. He's lost something. He was beat up too much. All fair. 15 games last year. A lot of people look at that as fine. 15 games the year before that. A lot of people look at that as fine. 13 games before that. Now we're not so fine. 16 games in 2021, his breakout season. 1,405 receiving yards. 16 games in the first year that they were at a 17-game clip. 7 games in 2020, the year before that. Last year of the 16-game schedule. You see where I'm coming from here? There's been an injury history, obviously. But there's been a lot of production. A lot of production for Deebo Samuel. A lot of production. I don't remember him missing a playoff game, but I would have to double check. Didn't get to that far yet. The bottom line is, I wish Deebo Samuel came with no questions, but he does. That doesn't make it a bad trade. That doesn't make it a trade that I wouldn't do. That doesn't make it a trade that I would advise or would have advised the Commanders not to make. I get every reason in the world why they made this trade. One other quick component to this, and it's been pointed out, so I'm not the first one. This ain't it, man. This ain't it, dog. They got to figure out something else because Deebo's probably best served out of the slot. Of course, you can move him around. They have 4 free agent receivers. I wonder who now doesn't come back out of that group. I mean, I've never thought De'Ami Brown was coming back because I thought he would price himself out. But maybe I was wrong on that. I don't know. But does Noah Brown, who's got a similar type game to Deebo Samuel, does he come back? He's got a lot of injury concerns. That's what's caught up to him. Does he come back, or is he too similar? I don't know. All right, let's get you guys aboard in the show. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's start off with Jason and Laurel. What's up, Jace? How are you?
What's up, Rooster? Welcome back.
Hope Thank you, buddy.
A good time with the fam.
I did. It was much needed. Thank you, pal. I hope you and your daughter had a good weekend as well.
We did. Thank you. So, listen, I love your take on this particular issue, and I wholeheartedly agree. This could be a spectacular trade. We don't know yet. It could be a terrible trade. Again, we don't know yet. I think his weight is a huge thing. He played as high as 225 last month, and the powers that be in San Fran really want him at 215. You know, now, is he lighter? Is he less likely to get injured? I don't know. I do think San Fran overused him, especially early, which is, I think, why some of these injuries happened. I'm really excited about what it could be. And I think the Latimer trade, I put in the same category. You can't grade that trade yet. I think that trade was maybe even better because we have 2 years still on his contract. That wasn't a trade for the last 6 games of last season. That was a trade moving forward. Now, people are upset about it because he didn't play a whole lot, but he was hurt. But I think both of these trades, we got to wait to see till like maybe the middle of next year, and then we can make a determination. But I like both moves. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, listen, again, and I'm with you. I like this move. I don't love this move. I'm not like, oh, it's a slam dunk guarantee. I'm not infatuated. Let's put it that way. As a matter of fact, I did it, you know, part of my show a week and a half ago. I said, you know, if you ask me, Cooper Kupp, Deebo Samuel, or DK Metcalf, which one of the three I'd rather have DK Metcalf. But I understand DK Metcalf was not truly available and was going to cost a lot more than a fifth-round pick. But again, I also take umbrage to those that say, well, they gave up nothing. They gave up just a fifth-round pick. Well, yes, they gave up just a fifth-round pick in compensation, but they also gave up 22% of their salary cap space, roughly. So that is something if it doesn't work out. If Debo's hurt for 4 or 5 games next year, is it worth it? Is it worth it? And the answer for me is no. You know, but no, I don't know if he will be.
Contract stuff, I do think we might see a very determined Debo because he wants a new contract and he wants to get paid. You know, he's not a wide receiver too, but he's an amazing chess piece.
Yes.
And I can't wait to see what Cliff does with
him. No, that's a great point. And I appreciate you as always, brother. I'm going to let you run so we can get some more calls, but thank you. Debo will absolutely, I mean, you would think, right? Anybody on the final year of their deal stands to be motivated, and he's now with an organization that he knows, man, Jaden Daniels is better than Brock Purdy. Terry McLaurin is better than Brandon Ayuk. I can just fit in like a glove. I can do my thing. If I can stay on the field for 15, 16 games, 2-3 playoff games, I'm good. I'm good. Debo Samuel has played in 12 postseason games. So as I counted up here real quickly, he has not missed a postseason game, which is what I thought. 12 postseason games. Again, hold on to that number. Let's go to Lou in D.C. What up, Lou? How are you?
Chris, man. What's happening, man?
What's shaking, Lou?
Good to hear you back, man. I think it's a great trade. I know you think it's a good trade, but I think to me it's a steal because we need somebody, a receiver that could bully around some of these, you know, like the Philly and the Cowboys guys. So I think, you know, I know you worry about the weight and things like that. I think he's coming to the right organization. Like Jason said, he's playing for a contract, so yeah. I think he's going to get his attitude straight.
Let me just repeat. I'm not so worried about the weight. I'm saying that was part of the narrative, right? And that is part of the worry that people have.
But I made it
very clear. I don't pick on people for their weight issues because that would be pretty, you know, insensitive of me to do that.
I understand that, but I just think that, you know, this is a different organization. You see how the season went. We had guys without any injury. So I think, you know, that our organization is the right place for this guy. And I think he's going to come in, put the work in and everything else as far as, you know, his injury goes. I mean, the guy played utility. I mean, he played running back, receiver, you name it. So, I mean, that's part of the game. And, you know, you worry about him being injured or missing a couple of games here and there. It's part of the game. We just hope that's not going to be the case. And you know, he's going to come and fit in and bully these guys in the NFC East. And that's what I like.
Well,
about
let me give you something here. I guarantee you, privately, they'll never say this publicly. Privately, they're saying, "Wait a second, injuries? No big deal. We do things A differently here," which I think has been understood, known, and veterans have talked about. But also, we brought Zach Ertz in here, who was an injury play, you know, one injury after another. He played in all 20 games. We brought Bobby Wagner in here, both 33-year-old guys. He played 20 games. What are you talking about, injuries? Now, of course, they won't tell you about Noah Brown, who was always injured before he got here, who was constantly injured when he got here and missed the second half of the season. They won't tell you that Austin Ekeler missed, you know, or and some of this was procedural roster-wise, missed 5 games. You know, so they won't tell you that, but internally and privately, they're probably saying, "Of course, Debo's 29. We'll get him right. We'll get him. Look at what we did for Zach Ertz. Look at what we did for Bobby Wagner."
Look, Chris, all I want from Debo is like 3 to 4 years, and that's all we could ask for. We don't want no 10 years, you know, blah blah, none of that.
Well, he's only under contract for 1 year, so let's worry about that first.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I mean, they're going to address another receiver in the draft. So, I mean, look, man, I think this is a perfect compliment for Terry. I mean, he's going to be fed this season, man. I'm telling you, man. It's, to me, I think it's a great trade. I know people worry about all the other you know, nonsense and stuff, but I'm not worried about that because when you're playing a running back and receiver, that's part of the game. You're going to get hurt. So he takes a lot of hits, and that's part of the game. And I just think that it's a great trade, and it's a steal, and I love it. And,
all right.
You know, what it is, man.
We'll see. Thank you, Luke. Appreciate it. Listen, again, I hope that it turns out to be a great trade. You couldn't ask for more out of the Zach Ertz acquisition, right, which wasn't a trade, and the Bobby Wagner signing. Even though Bobby, you know, from time to time is a little slower afoot than you'd like, ideally, you couldn't have asked for more. But that's not everybody. And everybody doesn't work out that same exact way. So you can't just go, even if you're thinking this, you can't just go, oh, well, he'll be fine because we don't, you know, we don't tax our veterans. I mean, you can't say that. You can hope for that. You can believe that. You can cite that, but you can't plan that. You can't expect that. And again, it's not like Debo has missed 12 games a year. The only year that he would miss what most people would call significant time was 2020, where he played the 7 games. But it is a little bit of a concern. The pneumonia last year. Hey, man, listen, I've had walking pneumonia. That when I was a young guy, when I was, you know, less than Debo, that stuff is killer. Killer. 149, Team 980, take a timeout. More of your calls coming up. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Do the Commanders still need more? When should they consider a contract extension? If for Debo Samuel, all things we'll tackle coming up on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we're going to have a surprise guest coming up in the 2 o'clock hour, I think early in the 2 o'clock hour. I told you there were some dignitaries hanging around. So I've scooped up one of them to join us in the 2 o'clock hour. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Coming up also in the 2 o'clock hour, we'll tackle what else has to happen at wide receiver. Do they bring back one, two, three? Which one of the four free agent wide receivers of their own, four of the 28? Also, or do they go outside? A Darius Slayton, a Mac Collins, Stephon Diggs, bring him home, whatever. And do they do a contract extension with Debo Samuel right away to lower that cap number? Again, there is some confusion on this option thing. We read you directly from Over the Cap. I can't do any more than that other than that's a salary cap space. They know more about the salary cap. They're saying the 49ers are probably going to renounce the option, and therefore the Commanders will just take on the $17.55 million this year and not $5 million this year and $12 million in void dead money next year, which is, to me, the appropriate thing to do if you're going to make this trade. But that's the deal. Either way, the Commanders are on the hook for $17.55 million. It's just a matter of whether they spread it out this year and essentially spread it out next year, regardless of whether Debo's here or not. After 1 year, regardless of whether the deal works out or not. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to D.C. and Calvert County here quickly before the top of the hour. What's up, D.C.? How are you, pal?
I'm excellent, man. How are you? You had a great weekend with your son?
I had a great weekend. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you.
That's good, brother. That's good. But, yeah, man, the Debo Samuel trade, I'm happy with it because a fifth-round pick wasn't too much to give up. We haven't gave him an extension. He got a prove-a year, and we know what prove-a years are like for a lot of these guys. But I really like the toughness that he's bringing to the team that we already have, you know. And we got better at a position we needed to get better at. And I look forward to seeing him doing the things that we were doing last year, but being able to get us more yardage. And a lot of people I like the mentality he played with because it was a playoff game. They lost, but he played hard till the end. And I think it was against Philly. And they were hitting him. And every time he touched the ball, they were hitting him hard. And he wasn't shying away from contact. He was catching the ball.
He is not afraid of contact. There is no doubt about that. And he is tough and physical. As you know, basically, I think he's a better version than Noah Brown.
100%.
You know? Now, 100%. The question is how much does that style, as we saw with Noah, as we've seen with Debo, how much does that style and that usage pile up on a body? And can he ever get right? And the answer is we won't know until we see it.
Right, 100%. But I think it's going to help because he's not going to be the focal point. We have a running back. We have a number one receiver. So he won't be the bulk load of the offense. He will be able to fit in with what he does and be a different dynamic that other teams have to deal with.
I hear you. You feeling okay, DC?
Man, just a little, you know, hoarse from yelling and being excited.
I was going to say, that voice sounds like you've been doing a talk show all weekend, baby. I love it. Go get some throat spray. I appreciate you as always, my friend. Thank you, and hope you had a good weekend. Got to let you run so we can get to the top of the hour break. We're going to be joined by that special guest, I think, just after 2 o'clock. But if not, we'll go right back to the calls. But either way, we'll get back to the calls as soon as we can. 301-230-0980, 158-T980, and the Odyssey app. Stay with us.